fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Moise Retsera, pastor of Lansing Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mo.
Well, let's have another word of prayer, if it's okay, as we dive into the Word of God together. Dear Heavenly Father, as we open your Word today, we pray that we would be at your feet and learn from you. May your Holy Spirit give us understanding and wisdom how to apply the truth of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. If you will open your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, and thank you so much, Lily, for reading it for us today. Matthew chapter 6. Now, I want to make sure I give you the right verse. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and how many things shall be added unto you, my friends? All things will be added unto you." Hide and seek. You know, in our world today, we seek for many things, don't we? I decided to look up some of the things that people were seeking that were quite, we might call it in money terms, quite pricey. There was a famous singer who paid $55 million for a racing horse. $55 million. He really wanted that horse. Another man prayed the same price for a watch. One man paid $355,000 for a house for his dog. A Japanese man who really wanted a fish, a 612-pound bluefin tuna, in 2019, paid $3.1 million for that fish. I don't know how long the fish lasted. On top of that, another man who really wanted a painting by Leonardo da Vinci called the Salvator Mundi paid $450.3 million for a painting. In this life, we seek many things, don't we? Now, these are people that paid big money, but if you think about it, you and I, too, we're seeking for different things in life. But if you were to ask Jesus, what should we seek for? He will tell us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 these words. He says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." My question for you today is, do we really believe that? Do we really believe that if we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all these things shall be added unto us? And to be clear, we must understand what is all these things. In verse 25 of the same chapter, Jesus tells us what all these things are. In there, he says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you will drink. Nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? In other words, what Jesus is telling us, all these things are your life, your food, your drink, your body, your existence. Jesus says that if we seek the kingdom of God, we won't need to worry about all these things. Amen? How is life today in Lansing? Today we carry burdens we were never meant to carry. We have anxieties of which we were never meant to experience. Jesus says, if you want to live your life right, seek the kingdom of God. But then we want to ask the question, what does it really mean to seek the kingdom of God? I can think of no better example than if you go with me to the story of a man by the name of Zacchaeus. Go with me to Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 10. And is it okay if we really look at the Word of God, my friends? Amen. That is what we want. Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 10. Follow me as we go through the story of this man, Zacchaeus. Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 10. The story begins this way in the Gospel of Dr. Luke. It says, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd. So he was of a short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of all my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was what, my friends? Which was lost. If you could come up with a profile of the biggest sinner, in the Jewish mind, maybe it would be a Samaritan. But a level above a Samaritan, you could say, was a tax collector. But then Zacchaeus was not just a tax collector. He was what, my friends? He was a chief tax collector. He was a Jewish man that had contracted with those that are oppressing them, the Romans, to tax his own people to make sure that the coffers of Rome were full. They were known as well not only to take taxes, but to make a profit for themselves, and they were known to be some of the most corrupt human beings you could ever meet. Zacchaeus was chief of tax collectors, and the Bible says that Zacchaeus was rich. Meaning Zacchaeus had built his wealth and his earthly kingdom on the burdened backs of his own people. He had made his money by oppressing others, by taking what he could get, and even more, to the point that a tax collector became a rich man. Zacchaeus. The Bible also adds something else about Zacchaeus, and the Bible is not one really to talk about physical appearances. But the Bible makes it a point for us to know that Zacchaeus was what, my friends? He was short. Now, I don't know if he had a Napoleon complex or whatever happened there. We don't want to go beyond what the Bible says, but you could imagine this short man, this rich man, running, and he is running, and as the song goes, that you know, this little man, this wee little man, Zacchaeus, this wee little man did what, my friends? Climbed a tree. You see, Zacchaeus was probably the type of man who wanted to be on the action. He did not want to miss out. He wanted to know what was happening in his town because he was like the little chief of the town. And if something were to happen, he wanted to be on the action. And since he was short, he climbed up on a tree. He probably thought that he could hide from whatever might be going on up on that tree. But Zacchaeus did not also realize that, and he probably knew that there was something in his heart, a void in his heart that he could not explain. Man could not see it, but there, hiding in his heart, was a need for something better than an earthly kingdom. Zacchaeus was looking for something he did not even know he needed. Hiding there upon that tree, there is Zacchaeus, and as the crowd is starting to come, he probably notices a man walking in the midst of the crowd. Is that the Jesus? As Jesus walks by, he's probably noticing, trying to study him, trying to understand who is this man, and as he is walking by, though Zacchaeus thinks he can play hide and seek with the Lord finds him in verse 5, and notice what he says. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and what, my friends? Saw him. And he said to him, by the way, how many of you like to play hide and seek? I love to play hide and seek. My boys love it too. As a matter of fact, this morning, they were so into the game that they decided to jump into some things in order for the other sibling not to find him at risk of their own life. But as a good parent, I said, no, no, you can't do that. But they were committed to hiding. Zacchaeus, there probably on that tree of a small stature, is probably thinking he is well camouflaged from all the things. He just wants to see what's going on. And you could imagine as Jesus is walking by, all of a sudden Jesus looks up. And in verse 5, he says, Zacchaeus. Now could you imagine? It is one thing when somebody knows you, and it's another thing when they really know your name, but you don't know them. Could you imagine now, this person that you have been observing knows your name, and the first thing he says is Zacchaeus. You see, my friends, there's no playing hide and seek with Jesus. Jesus, as he was going to the town of Jericho, knew that there was in there a man that needed his Savior. And as Jesus is walking by, he knows your heart and he knows my heart, and he knows that even the chief of sinners needs a Savior. So as he's walking by there, he goes, he looks up, and the first thing he says is what again, my friends? Zacchaeus. 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 We don't know what was going on in the mind of Zacchaeus, but I could imagine that he was probably surprised that Jesus knew his name. Zacchaeus probably at this point in his life is thinking, what is about to happen? What is going on here? I thought I had cover, but here is one who knows my name. And Jesus tells him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Now you got to understand this. Zacchaeus is probably not the type of man that takes orders. He is probably used to giving orders, but he's not used to probably taking orders. Now maybe he took orders from his wife. We don't know. But when Jesus says there, Zacchaeus, notice Jesus doesn't say, Zacchaeus, may you come down. Jesus tells him straight up, come down. Hurry up and come down. In the mind of Zacchaeus, he's probably running, man, what is this? And as Zacchaeus is thinking about it, he's even more shocked by the declaration of Jesus. He says, for today, I must stay at your house. I want to tell you, my friends, Jesus is also asking you the same question. He is knocking at the door of your heart and my heart, and he's saying, Bob, hurry up. I want to come into your house today. You see, with Jesus, there was no playing around. There was no time wasted. He knew he needed a Savior, and Jesus was there on time, and he was ready to go into the house of Zacchaeus. Jesus had come to seek and to save the lost, and though Zacchaeus looked like he had a heart of stone, Jesus could give him a heart of flesh. You see, it was not Zacchaeus who would save himself. It would be him with Jesus. Jesus saving him. Zacchaeus, in verse 6, notice he does not argue with God. So he made haste and came down and received him how, my friends? Joyfully. Today, my friends, I want to tell you, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. And in these moments, while we have today, today is what we have. Tomorrow, we don't know. Zacchaeus could have said, wait a minute, Lord, I got to make sure that my house is in order. Jesus did not ask him that question. He could have said, well, Lord, do you know who I am? Did you pay your taxes before you came into town? He did not make any excuses. He came down and received Jesus joyfully. You see, Zacchaeus knew that there was something better than the kingdom of man. He knew that he had spent most of his life building his own kingdom, but in Jesus there was something better than worldly success. There was something more substantial, something more real, something more freeing than having the golden chains of our passions and sins. He wanted freedom. He wanted Jesus. It is interesting, though, that as he's seeking Jesus and as he's welcoming Jesus, as Jesus is knocking on his door, he must realize, Zacchaeus must realize what this means. Go with me to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. As we try to understand, what does it mean to seek the kingdom of God? As Jesus is probably walking at this time with Zacchaeus going to his house, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus makes this statement. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But what, my friends? But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Zacchaeus has some choices to make. He's welcoming the Lord in his house, but he knows at the end of time, at the end of that meeting with Jesus, he must surrender his life to the will of God. To seek the kingdom of God, this is what it means, my friend. It means to accept the Lord not only as your Savior, but as the Lord of your life. To say, Lord, I will organize my life in a manner that is pleasing in your sight, that I will order my steps according to the will of God for the rest of my days. To seek the kingdom of God does not only mean to say, Lord, Lord, I am a Christian. I am part of the Lansing Seventh-day Adventist Church. To seek the kingdom of God means to say, Lord, Lord, you are my Savior and my Lord. I will do your will, whatever that will is. As Zacchaeus is walking with Jesus, he's realizing that this is an encounter he needed in his life, and he has choices to make. Choices to make. But I tell you what, as he's walking with Jesus, that walk is not easy. Because as they're walking there in Luke chapter 19, verse 7, you could see the crowd there gathering to see Jesus. And as they're gathering to see Jesus, this is what they're doing. They said in verse 7, Luke chapter 19 and verse 7, are you still with me, my friends? Amen. It says this. It says, but when they saw it, who are the they, my friends? The crowd. For Zacchaeus, he's having his moment with Jesus, but for the crowd, they're having a different moment. It says, but when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. You know, the beauty about this story is that Jesus was willing to put it all on the line for a sinner. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Notice it was not some people that were complaining. It was all people who were complaining. You could imagine there as Jesus is walking the murmur saying, does this Jesus know what he's doing? He is going into the house of Zacchaeus, and as there as the crowd is murmuring and complaining, Jesus keeps walking towards the house of Zacchaeus. You know, if Jesus had another mode apart from just do it, you know, that to me was the mode of Jesus. Jesus was going to do whatever it took to save the lost. But another mode that he had is ignore the noise. There was noise around Jesus at all times. People complaining, people saying, but Jesus was laser focused to saving the lost. Amen? And he kept walking because a man needed to be saved. I think that had an impression upon the life of Zacchaeus. Because he knew that to walk with Zacchaeus, you too will start to stink. But Jesus kept walking with him. And piece by piece, Zacchaeus learned to give his heart to Jesus. You see, my friends, Jesus will do whatever it takes to save you and me. He's not worried about the noise. He's not worried about the headlines. He's not worried about what is going on around. As long as he can save you, that is what he cares. So Jesus keeps walking to your heart today. He keeps walking. And he keeps walking. As he goes into the house of Zacchaeus, in verse 8, Zacchaeus says something shocking. He says, and Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Now, to you and I, that looks like a really simple sentence. But you know what kind of vow this was? It was a vow to go from a rich man to a poor man. Half of his possessions he was going to give, and he was going to repay everybody that he extorted fourfold. It was a commitment, an all-in commitment to Jesus to say, Lord, I am seeking your kingdom all the way, even if it requires me to become poor. I will seek the kingdom of God. I tell you what, it's not easy to give up money. Especially with Zacchaeus, he had his kingdom made. He was chief tax collector. He had the money. He had the authority. He had the power. But here he is telling Jesus, Jesus, I am willing to give it all up to be in your kingdom, to make things right for Jesus. You might say, was it really worth it to give everything up for Jesus? But what Zacchaeus would understand down the road is that just as Zacchaeus went up upon a tree, Jesus would be put on a tree for him. Do we realize the price that Christ had to pay for yours and my salvation? You see, the kingdom of God, the glue of the kingdom of God is love. That is what Zacchaeus needed. He needed a love that surpasses all understanding, a love that lasts even beyond the grave. And he found that love in Jesus. It was a love that was not going to be deterred by your past. It was a love that was not going to be deterred by your weakness. It was a love that was going to make you strong and make you like Jesus. Zacchaeus found that love, and just as he climbed that tree, that love was going to drive Jesus to a tree and die on a tree. Is it worth it to give everything for Jesus? I would say yes. And just in that town in Jericho, 2,500 years ago, there was another woman there as well by the name of Rahab. And if we had to call her, she probably was a chief of sinners. She was a harlot. But when the messengers of God came, knocking at the door of her house, she not only welcomed them, but she also welcomed the God of Israel in her heart. And I want to tell you today and myself, Jesus is walking towards you right now, and you cannot play hide and seek with Jesus because he's going to call you by your name. And he's going to say, Jennifer, John, can I dine in your house today? You might say, well, Lord, my house is not in order. Do you know who I am? God is not deterred by that. He knows who you are. He knows your name. And he says, just let me in and I will take care of your mess. Just let me in and I will take care of your mess. In verse 9 to 10 of Luke chapter 19, Jesus closes. And Jesus said to him, that is Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. And I love these words in verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was what, my friends? That which was lost. My friend, you might be a great sinner, but God is a great Savior. When we look at ourselves, we don't know how we're going to make it. But when we look to Jesus, we don't know how we can be lost. Is there anything today that is keeping you away from saying, Jesus, come into my heart today? Is there anything in this life, the kingdom of this world, that is worth holding on to? For everything, just like the story of Bill, I really appreciated that story, Bill. Is just sand. But the kingdom of God shall last forever. As Jesus closes his ministry, the words of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 still ring. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Are you and I today willing to take and answer the call of Jesus Christ? If we are, why don't we stand together? And as we stand together, I'm going to make a very special appeal. If you would like to give your life to Jesus in baptism. If you would like to give your life to Jesus in baptism, why don't you join me in the front there and say, Lord Jesus, I want to come down and I want you to be the Lord of my life. You know who you are. Just come. If you want to give your life to Jesus, whoever you might be small, you might be tall, it doesn't matter. Just come. Amen. Amen. Is there anybody else? I know there's many of you. Amen. Amen. I know there's more. Amen, brother. I want you to look at this man. Amen. Jesus today is saying, come down. Come down. Hurry up. Hurry up. Whoever you might be, hurry up. He wants to be in your house today. Wherever you might be, I tell you, there's no glue on those seats. There's no glue. It's just you and Jesus. It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit calling you. Maybe for some of you, you want to be rebaptized. Just come. Just come. Whoever you might be, you can make a decision today for Jesus. If you know of someone and they're right next to you, take their hand and bring them to the front. Say, I'll walk with you. I will walk with you if you want to make a decision. Amen. Amen. Is there one more? Is there one more? If you want to come to the front, just come. Amen. Amen. My friend, this is God's time. Jesus wants to be with you today. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? Well, let's have a word of prayer. Amen. And I'd like to invite Elder West to come here as we pray for these individuals, if you would have a word of prayer for us. Amen. Church family, what do we say? Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, what a precious sight today to see these precious souls come forward as you have called them. And Lord, right now, angels stand by with a pen in their hand, ready to write new names in the book of life. And Lord, today there may be another still. There may be another still. Who's struggling, who's wrestling, Lord, and you are calling them by name. May they hear the voice, your voice, the voice of the Son of God, call to them personally right in this moment. May the Spirit of God press upon their hearts and invite them to come. There may be one more still. There may be 10 more still. They can come right now. You, friend, you can come now. If you sense the Lord Jesus calling you today, come even now. I see one coming just now. There may be another, Lord. Father, these dear, precious people are in your hands. Mm-hmm. And as the scripture has said, as Jesus said, you will not allow the enemy to pluck them out of your hand. Mm-hmm. But your grace will hold them. Your arms will sustain them. And so, Lord, I pray that there may be others. You're calling them by name just now in their hearts. And Lord, they would respond to you. I pray it. I pray the angels of heaven would take them by the hand just now. But for those who have come forward, Lord, I pray for them that your hand of blessing, that the Spirit of God would touch them, would penetrate deep into their hearts, and that you would bring all the light of heaven to them. And as they prepare for eternity, Lord, you'll walk with them every step of the way. You'll be by their side. You will encourage them. You will strengthen them. And when the times are tough, you'll carry them. Mm-hmm. And Lord, you'll be by them. And you'll take them right on into the gates of heaven. You'll take them right on into eternity, to the place that you've prepared for them. And Lord, today, as you are beginning to prepare that place for them, they have opened the way and they prepared in their hearts a place for you. And so, Lord, strengthen them, bless them. And I pray a special prayer for Pastor Moise and Amy as they lead this church, as they lead this congregation. And it will be strengthened, it will be built up. The kingdom of God is among us, Jesus said, as Jesus dwells in our hearts. So, Lord, we lift them up to you today. Baptize them with your Spirit and let your strength fill them to full capacity as they walk with you day by day. And Lord, for others who may be wrestling, they're on the verge, they're thinking, they're considering, Lord, bring peace to them. Bring peace to the storm. Surround them, Lord. May they know that they can trust you. May they be willing at any cost to follow you. And maybe today is not the day, but soon. But soon. And so, Lord, we commit these precious ones to you in a mighty, mighty way. And we praise you for your goodness and their response to your goodness this morning. So we lift them up and place them in your care and in your hands. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You have been listening to Moise Ratsera, pastor of Lansing Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the church at 5400 West St. Joe Highway in Lansing, Michigan, and their church service begins at 11 a.m. Access their website at lansingadventist.org. This program has been a Strong Tower Radio production.